Chapter 20 and verse 4, we're going to look at one verse there in Proverbs this morning and one brief passage in the book of Psalms as well. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. There the Bible reads, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing." There's a verse talking about the negative results of not working when it's time to work, not plowing in the time to plow. And if you would turn then back to Psalm chapter 126, verse 5. Psalm 126, verse 5, we have a contrasting thought here in this psalm. Psalm 126, verse 5 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So we have a contrast here. We have one person who at the harvest is sad. He's begging, he's empty. On the other hand, we have someone at the time of harvest that has got his arms full and he's rejoicing. What is the difference? We hope to answer that today from the God's word. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to look into your word. And I pray, Lord, that we would never take our eyes off of the harvest time. And Lord, help us to realize we have responsibilities now. In order, Lord, to come to the harvest with joy, must not watch now. We must be about your work now, even though that work is often lonely. It's often unrewarded. Lord, there's no praise for the work that's done now. Lord, help us to understand that without the work of plowing, harvest will be an empty time. I pray you bring the conviction to each of our hearts that we would put our hand to the plow and not look back and trust you for the future harvest and the joy that will certainly come with that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. We'll stay most of the time here. The Proverbs says here, the sluggard. This is a man that has not his name, but he's named by his character. That would be something, isn't it? If we just decided what your main character trait was and that was your new name. Maybe we'd be a little more careful about how we lived. Hi, I'm glad to meet you. Your name is Liar, and what's your last name? Liar Smith. Okay, Liar Smith. We'd be fighting to get rid of that first name, wouldn't we? Hi, I'm Thief. My friends all call me Thief. Do you want to be friends? Not really. You're a thief. I don't want to have to guard my money. But I'm Thief. That's what I do. Ugh, man. You know, I'm Sluggard. Well, you guys want to go work out? I'm lazy. It's my name. Here this person gets called a name. Man, isn't that harsh? They're called a name of their character. Pilgrim's Progress. If you ever think of that story? Where would you and I be in that story? That's all it is. All right? Would we be obstinate? Would we be pliable? Would we be faithful? Would we be hopeful? Would we be Christian? Hopefully we'd be Christian. Would we be worldly wise men? Would we be talkative? What would we be? What if you got the opportunity to name all your classmates? If we created Fairhaven Progress and we got to name characters, we needed somebody for every character. Where would your friend, where would you put yourself? Of course, we would all put ourselves Faithful, the Martyr, or Christian. Where would your friends put you at? Where would your parents put you at? If they had to give you a name based on your main character trait, Where would you be? You ever read the names of the early colonial Americans? And they named their kids? Named their kids often after character traits. I'm sure there was hope that they would be named, they would live up to that name. But a lot of last names are by occupation, aren't they? People often were named by their occupation. Smith and Miller, Cooper, Taylor. What if our first name was our character? Here we have a man who has a very unfortunate title, but the fact of the matter is he earned it. If we were to be named after our character, we have only one person to thank for that, and that's us. In fact, Jesus, or God, in chapter 22, talks about having a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. He's not talking about our given name at birth. Your name is your reputation or your character. To have a good name, that's better than being rich and wealthy, because there's a lot of rich and wealthy that have terrible character. And so this person has earned this title. What did he do to earn the title sluggard? He earned the title because the second part of the verse says here, he will not plow. He will not plow. Why would a person not plow? If their life depended on growing their own food, and there's a time in the course of a year where the work in order to grow the food needed to be done, plowing, why would he not go do that? It was necessary for him to have the food that he needed. How else was he going to live? He had to grow his food, and you have to plow the ground in order for the crops to grow. Why would a person not plow? Why would we not plow in our Christian life? Why would we not do this type of work in order to have the harvest that we could have? Well, first off, plowing is often done alone. It's lonely work. You hear about the farmer when he goes out to get the plow. It's very lonely. He does it alone. He often is done in weather that's not real favorable. All right? The weather's not great. There's no perfect time. There's no perfect time to do most things. You know that? There's no perfect time to start your research paper. No perfect time. If you're waiting for that perfect time, you will be probably doing it like 10 minutes before it's due. Because the perfect time never came around, so now I got to work off the deadline, and that means I'm just whipping something out. There's no perfect time to ever go ahead and get that PE workout in. You know that? I'm going to wait till I just feel like I'm a decathlete. And then I'm going to go ahead and run those laps. I'm going to wait till I feel like incredibly muscular. Then I'm going to do the push-ups. There's no perfect time to get going on those things. Okay? So he delays or he waits. It's alone. It's not good weather. It's fruitless. Did you know that? No one ever grabs a harvest or gathers the fruit in during plowing season. We read the passage. They that sow in tears. Psalm 126. Sowing in tears. How does that sound? Does that sound exciting? Yeah, let's go sow. I want to cry some. I want to shed some tears. I want to be alone. I want to do it when I don't feel like doing it. Plowing. Well, for all these reasons, the sluggard chose not to do it. And so there's definitely reasons why he didn't. And it's just preparation work. There's no fruit from that. Another reason why he might not have plowed, because there was not a plow fest held when the plows got out. It wasn't a big group of people, hey, let's have a big party. It's time to go plow. Now, in the fall, we have harvest fest, don't we? Yeah, well, all the food's gathered in. We sing the songs at Thanksgiving, right? All is safely gathered in. Well, there's nothing gathered in when it's time to plow. Nothing's been done. The ground's hard. Running a plow, have you ever ran a real handheld plow? I haven't. I've heard some that have. I can only imagine how enjoyable it is to try to keep that plow in the ground when that plow is pulled by an animal. The hard work, the just sheer labor that must take. People celebrate the harvest. People gather together at the harvest. The Bible, a lot of the feasts in the Bible are centered around the harvest time. There's no feast in the Bible gathered around the time where you go out in the barn and you pull out the plow. Try to get that blade sharpened and put it in that hard ground and start to work again. There's no party when it's time to plow. But Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 61. Let's see what Jesus says with regard to the plow. Luke 9 and verse 61. This is in the middle of the account where Jesus is calling for true disciples. Will they come or will they not? His call for disciples is met by willingness, verse 57. I will follow thee. Jesus points out in verse 58, you're not going to have much in this life. Don't hear about that man anymore. Verse 59, another man was addressed by Jesus. Follow me. He says, I've got to take care of these pressing family matters. Verse 61, another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go bid them farewell which are at my house. And Jesus said to him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. The Christian life starts with the plow. Starts with the plow. And so for this reason, back to our passage, we have a sluggard who decides, there's too much against me starting this work right now. I'd rather do something more enjoyable. Let's read again. The sluggard, first, will not plow. Number two, thirdly, by reason of the cold. So he had his reason for not getting to the work. Don't we all have our reasons for not doing what we really know we both could and should do? We all have our reasons. It's ingrained in our human nature. We have the list of reasons, and it's long. And on the other side, why should we? Because it's right to do. So there's always a reason. For this man, it had to do with unfavorable weather conditions. All right, so let's just make a decision here, and let's apply the sluggard's mindset to, let's just take, for example, Fairhaven Bus Ministry. Okay? The bus worker will not plow or sow or visit by reason of the, well, it's cold right now. So I wonder how many weeks we just don't go anywhere on Saturday or anywhere on Sunday because it's cold outside. I mean, if it was last year, we'd probably just have to stop our Christian life for 6 months because of the winter that we had. How cold is too cold? Well, here's what happens. It's real cold. So I'll make an excuse for that today. All right, so we don't run buses because it's kind of cold. The next time, well, it's pretty cold, but, you know, I don't really feel like it today. What happens is one excuse builds upon another, builds upon another, and builds upon another. Before long, well, you know what? The bus ministry just isn't what it used to be. Just isn't really what it used to be. Well, what's happened? What's changed? Our excuses is what's changed. We like excuses when we're fleshly. When we're serving God, man, nothing can stop us. I mean, nothing can stop us. We can't wait to get out and get in God's work. But when the world or our flesh begins to fill up, you don't feel like doing anything for the Lord. Excuses. Let's look at Proverbs 26, 16. The problem with allowing the mindset of the sluggard into your life is this. You become a master of excuses. You become wise in your excuses. Look at verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Seven reasonable men can't out-reason a sluggard when he gets on a roll. I mean, I don't know. I've had students before. They had beautifully worded lists of reasons why they couldn't get their job done. I've had people give me all kinds of reasons why they couldn't fulfill their ministry. And they were good. I mean, they were well thought out. And I was trying to get an argument against them, but no, they came right back with another argument. And like, yeah, well, man, what do I say? They're good. When you're a sluggard and that becomes a part of you, And you make excuses for one thing. You start making excuses for all areas of your life. And you become a master at excusing away why you can't do anything for the Lord. You become wiser than seven reasonable people. That's a scary place to get at. That's the danger of starting down the road of offering excuses at the time when the work is to be done. What's the problem here? Is the cold the problem, or is the character of the man the problem? It's the man, is it not? Because the fact of the matter is, there are people that are plowing. There are people that have said, it's time to do this job so that we can have a harvest in the fall. It's time to get out in that cold and try to put the plow on the ground and get this done. There are people that are doing it. So the result, verse 4 again, the sluggard, number 1, 2, will not plow, 3, by reason of the cold, number 4, therefore shall he beg in harvest. What does the harvest represent? The time of great joy, the labor's done, the fun, the festivities begin. So we picture a big group of people that are celebrating. They've got the food for their winter. The men have satisfaction knowing that their family's taken care of. They've provided for their family. They put all the work in. They have satisfaction. So you have these different family groups, and maybe they've shared fields, or maybe they've shared equipment, and there's great joy. But there's one guy that's making his way from group to group with a sack. Hey, can I have a little bit of your food? Well, what about your harvest that you brought in? I don't have a harvest. Well, why'd you have a harvest? It's a bad year. The crops just didn't grow this year. Really, all the rest of us. I mean, it was a good year. We got plenty of food. Where's your field at? That's over there. Where? Over there. Over there. There's nothing in that field. It doesn't even look like it's been plowed. Shame. Right? Remember the wise and the foolish virgins at the wedding? Do you remember that story? 5 were prepared with extra oil, and 5 were not. And then the time came, the bridegroom came. What happened? What did the 5 that had no extra oil say? Give us some of yours. Give us yours. The 5 wise men, the 5 wise women, that'd be a new manger scene, right? The 5 wise women. Add them in there. hey, we alter manger scenes anyway with the wise men. Why not throw in another 5 ladies? So they said, give us some of yours. And the wise one said, no, you get your own. What did those 5 foolish have to do? They had to go into town. They missed out. They missed out on the event. They weren't ready. So here we have this beggar going around, and he's asking for food. His people might have had a soft heart toward him and given him some food, but the reality of the matter is he was reaping what he didn't sow, right? Remember the parable of the talents, right? 5 talent man invested. 2 talent man invested. The 1 talent hid it. No plowing, no work, no risk, no labor. At the time of judgment, no reward. Jesus says, foolish, wicked to that man. So, the harvest, a time of begging. What about you and I? What about your harvest? Well, we can make it through this life okay, kind of getting along in the world and going to church and doing okay. We're in Bible college, just kind of making our way through. But the fact of the matter is, there will be a time when the harvest comes, and that harvest, the time of reward and judgment, will be either a time of begging because nothing is there, or it'll be a time of great joy because of the time that was put in to the plow. So we picture this beggar, with all the reasons, all the excuses. But he has nothing, nothing to show for it. And that's where an excuse will leave you. It will leave you with an empty bag. Excuses accomplish nothing. An excuse produces nothing. Okay? We forget the excuses. We go. We fail. We get back up. We try again. We fail. We get back up. We try again. We fail. I think the story of Booker T. Washington illustrates this well when he was trying to carve an institute for black men out of the land in Alabama. They had no money, so they had to produce their own buildings, their own heat, their own food, everything. And he would have people try to come to the college, and he'd say, okay, well, your job here, your part of this is going to be chopping down these trees and taking care of this wood and producing wood for us. He'd have guys out there that were half-hearting the job, and they were not getting the job done, and he would stop what he was doing all the way through his whole life. He'd stop what he was doing and say, okay, young man, here's how you chop wood. And he knew how to do it because he did it from the time he was little. He'd stop, he'd take his coat off, roll his sleeves up, and he would chop wood faster and more, get more done than any of the other guys in school ever could. He said, that's how you get the job done. They needed to build buildings. They had no money for the bricks. So he decided to come up with a way of making their own bricks. Well, sounds like Egyptian Pharaoh there. Come up with an idea of making their own bricks, and if I remember right, the brick kiln that they made failed 4 times. He tried it. It failed. It didn't work. And he said, well, let me figure this out. And they tried again, and they failed. After the 4th time, they were making their own bricks and building their own building. That is rejecting the excuses. So why was this man called a sluggard? Not because of some sin that he did, get this, but because of the sin of not doing what he was supposed to do. The sluggard. Exodus 23 talks about the Feast of Pentecost. Well, before we have that feast, there was patient work, determination. Acts chapter 2 talks about the day of Pentecost. What happened on that day? Thousands were saved. But did everything just happen automatically that day? Did everybody just show up and all of a sudden thousands were saved? What preceded the day of Pentecost? Hard work, private prayer, patient waiting, seeking God, seeking for the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost was preceded by the plowing of prayer. Just like the Feast of Pentecost in the Old Testament was preceded by the work of plowing. Planting, cultivating. Christ faced the Garden of Gethsemane. That was time of plowing all alone. He did not look back. The harvest came when he rose from the grave. Had he looked back during that lonely time in the garden, we wouldn't be here today. We would be hopeless. But because when faced with the plow, alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, forsaken soon by all his closest friends, he did not look back. Several days later, he rose from the grave. And talking about the point of tremendous victory, that's the day, the resurrection day. We honor it every Sunday. So, plowing. Stop reasoning ourselves out of what needs to be done. Sluggards are filled with reasons. Don't let yourself fall into that. Listen to yourself sometime. Listen to what you think sometimes. Is it excuses? Is it reasons? Or is it just plow, just get the job done? What a shame to have a head that's hanging at the time of harvest. Now, on the other hand, don't have to have that type of a harvest. As we looked earlier, we can have the joy that comes, and I'm going to read Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6 again. On the other hand, we can have this. They that sow in tears, here's a promise, shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I was closing here, so excited to be able to talk with a young lady from our bus who is growing in the Lord. And she talked to me a few weeks ago. She says, "Mr. Armacost," one of the few that calls me that, the bus, "Mr. Armacost, I'm just really nervous to ask this guy at work out to church. I mean, I don't know. I'm nervous. I don't know if he'll come." And a couple Sundays ago, we show up. She goes, "I have a friend who needs picked up." I said, "Really?" We go by. Sure enough, there comes this young man named Jason. His 20s, named Jason. He came to church last Sunday, came forward the invitation, trusted the Lord as a Savior. And then this past Saturday, the man that dealt with him went to his house and began the process of discipling him. He's coming this Friday. You should have seen the joy on the face of that young lady who sowed. She sowed in tears, in nervousness. I don't know if she cried, but she was nervous. It was hard. And now the last two Sundays, she's had a sheave. I don't know if we would call him that or not. She's had a sheave with her on the bus, and guess what? She's not getting on there saying, "Oh, yeah, you again, huh? Yeah, you came to church again? That's great. What a wasting space on the bus." That's not her attitude, is it? Neither would it be yours. Neither will it be yours. If you sow in tears and reap in joy, you will be joyful in the Lord. Sheaves, fruit, produces tremendous happiness in the Christian life, whether it's the fruit of the Spirit in you or whether it's someone that you bring along with you. Are you down? Are you discouraged? Bring a sheave with you. Sow in tears. You will have a harvest and you will be joyful. Don't be the person that's begging empty-handed. The only reason we end up there is because excuses control our life rather than sowing in tears, staying with the plow, sowing alone, doing the work, trusting God for the results. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that we would, Lord, indeed not offer excuses in our life, but rather godly effort that results in souls being saved and the fruit of the Spirit being evident in our lives. Thank you for your word. I pray you'd use it in lives and hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.